Book of Proverbs, chapter number 8. I want to read. I'm going to go down to verse number 36 because it's our text, and then we're going to go back through and read a portion of time and look at it, and then go a little bit farther. And then when we're finished with that, that will be our introduction, that we might be able to understand where it's coming from, and then we'll go into the heart of the message this morning. And for those who are counting and wonder if you ever get done, I have 3 points. What that means is nothing. But what it does mean for my age, I don't take as long saying what I need to say as I used to take to say what I had to say. Does that make sense? So I don't know if I've gotten lazy, or maybe it's Alzheimer's, I don't know. You know, you just can't think of all those words some days. So, amen. So, Vicky's doing pretty good since her surgery. So, she's a part of our zipper club, and welcome aboard. So, did we make you the secretary or the treasurer? I don't remember. Such love in that family. Okay. Some of you wonder, what are you talking about, zipper club? We've had open heart surgery and they put a zipper back in so you go back a second time easier. Yeah. Way that works. Alrighty, chapter number 8. I got to get off all my nonsense and get on some good sense. Let's before we read, let's pray. Father, thank you so much this morning for the privilege to gather. Lord, I thank you for these, your people. I thank you for their love to you. Lord, also thank you for their love to me and to each other. Father, I pray that you might enhance us this morning, that you might work in our hearts, you might purify us, you might perfect us, that we might bring pleasure to you. We ask for your blessing these moments. We pray for the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God, for without you, we can do nothing. And we ask for that in the name of our Savior. Amen. Chapter number 8. If you go down to verse number 36, first of all, notice what it says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." I've entitled the message today, Lovers of Death. Let's go back to verse number 1. And I want us to read here, down to verse 11. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way and the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and the wickedness and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." We find here in chapter number 8 the personification of wisdom. And when we say personification, what we mean by that is wisdom is shown as a woman. Now, someone would say, "See there, we're smarter than you guys." You're probably right. And I wouldn't doubt that. How many men have actually won an argument in the last 10 years. You have deceived yourself. We find in these verses that she, wisdom, offers to us this thing that is of herself, wisdom. We find that it is more precious than anything on earth to be able to have wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, I like to think of it as not just knowledge, understanding facts, but being able to make wise or right decisions using those facts. Wisdom. And to be able to make wise decisions in life is of utmost importance. Would you not say that really your life is made up of decisions? Now, one of my most hated decisions is when my wife says to me, "What would you like to have for supper?" Now, there's a reason for that, because if I say a particular thing, she says, "I don't feel like that." Well, why did you ask me? I never quite know what to say then. I wish that if you go to a cafeteria, they wouldn't have this menu that's 5 pages long with addendums on top of that. Too many choices. And I find myself picking the same thing every time because, well, I don't like to make another choice. But oh, how we need wisdom to make the right choices. We find that in the next few verses that there are fabulous blessings that follow those who have wisdom. So go along with me as we read here. Verse number 12 says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, seeing the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." God wants to understand something. We need wisdom, and it sets as a woman saying, "Hey, listen, you need me. You need what I have. And here is what you're going to receive from it." And I believe really it's summed up in the last verse there, "that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." We find that she describes wisdom, existence with God as he created this world. If you notice verse 22, it says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet had he not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the earth, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, always rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." Wow, I look at that and I think, God did all these things and offers to us his wisdom. Now we find the last few verses something that ought to really frighten us. For we find here in these last few verses really an ultimatum. And then in this ultimatum is basically saying, if you refuse her, that is Lady Wisdom, you are choosing a slow and painful path for yourself. Now let's understand something else. These verses that I just read, these last few in verses 22 to 31, are also a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he not wisdom? And so what do we find here? We have an opportunity to receive him. Now notice verse number 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me. He says, because of all this, listen to me, ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Wow. This morning during Sunday school, we talked a little bit about some of the dangers that take place at this time of year with Halloween. Do you realize it has become the second most decorated festival of the year in the United States of America? For many, it is the highlight of the year. But as Christmas celebrates the birth of Christ, Halloween seems to celebrate death. Costumes are worn that depict the walking dead, depict gory, blood-dripping masks and figures of the occult. And all of this weighs heavily into this verse when it says, all they that hate me love death. All that hate me love death. People love. Listen, people love death when they hate God. People love the wages of sin, which is death, when they hate God. Because of our sin, we seek to hide from God. Is that not true? Seriously. Go back to the Garden of Eden and what took place. Because of sin, they sought to hide from God. They thought somehow they could cover their nakedness with a fig leaf. They thought somehow they could hide from God within his creation. We also find it's a time in the end when they will be crawling into the rocks and the holes of the ground, seeking to hide from the wrath of God. Hiding or being separated from God is death. Death is never a cessation of life. See, how can you say that? Because my Bible says that we were created in the image of God. You say, well, God doesn't have eyes and nose and feet and ears. No, but God is a spirit. And we have been created as a spirit being. Yes, we've been clothed with flesh. But when he talks about us being in the likeness of God, it's in that spirit form that we refer to. And we learn from that, that that which is in the image of God takes on his characteristics, and one of those is he is eternal. God never made us to die. He said, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die, but that was not his purpose in making us. And by the way, in the day they ate thereof, they were separated from God. And may I also say, in the day they ate thereof, there was the death of an animal in their place. But we are created a living soul. We are created for fellowship with God. But some reason we have chosen Satan, and we will spend an eternity with him. The Bible speaks of us having our father, the devil. But why would we love such a thing as death? Why would we love that? It just seems so contrary to everything. I want to share with you what I believe are three reasons that we love death. Number one, we love our sin. We love our sin. Many years ago, there was a farmer in an area where there were monkeys. And so he began to watch the monkeys because he wanted to catch one. And after a time in watching those monkeys, he found a coconut. And he made a hole in the coconut just big enough for that monkey to stick its hand through. But it was also big enough to slide a banana through. And he put that banana on the inside of that coconut. Then he tied the coconut to a tree. And a monkey would come down, take his hand, and squeeze it through that little opening and grab the banana. And he had him caught. See, how did he catch him? Because he would not let go of the banana. He loved the banana. He came up, he smelled it, he stuck his hand in there, he grabbed it and would not go and was captured. Is that not a picture of you and I? As we love our sin, we hang on to it so tightly that it takes us to the pit of hell. We are a people described as having our pleasures more than having God. And we will not let go of our sin to get saved. And let me use a word there for won't let go of our sin. And that word is the word repent. Not willing to let it go. Not willing to turn from it. Not willing to let go and to flee. That you and I so often. Why is it we're lovers of death? Because we love our sin. I believe there's probably another reason we could think about for a few moments, and that is we can't serve two masters. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24, it says the same verse in Luke. It says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. We have a love for the stuff that God has made, but not for God. We have a greater love for those things, and we seek to serve and to put our lives out that we might gather and gain those things. And as a result, we don't serve the master. You cannot serve God and men. Listen, it's one or the other. It says, all they that hate me love death. That's not some. That's not a few. It says, all that hate me love death. And when you and I seek a different master than that of God, then we are hating God. So I'm not hating God. But what would you call it when something else is ahead of him? Seriously, in comparison. And the last thing I'd like to mention this morning, when I think about why is it that we love death, for some unknown reason, we see it as an escape rather than a beginning. I dare say if I went around this room and every individual was as honest could be, there would be some in this room who have contemplated suicide. You've thought about that because you thought that would be an escape from what is out there. No wonder when we are in a time of crisis, as we are in our nation today, that the suicide rate has climbed exponentially. No wonder if you were to go with me to the city of Seattle and to sit through the long winter that sometimes you do not see the sunshine for months on end. Rain and drizzle constantly. And you could go to a bridge, and I could take you right to that bridge. And it's very high up off of the water. And it's a place where people will walk out to. And because they are so taken up with all the problems and so forth of the winter, they jump off that bridge and commit suicide. There's been literally hundreds and hundreds of people who have dived off of that bridge. Most of the bridge is not over water, but over land. We consider all those that have died as now having peace. We use the term rip or rest in peace, when in reality, death is not an escape. It is a beginning of continual warfare and suffering. Only the saved enjoy peace forevermore. Is that not true? We think of some of those that we have loved, some of those who have been saved, and we think they've been enjoying the wonderful peace of heaven. Then I think about people like perhaps my daddy, perhaps two of my brothers who never came to the spot to accept Christ as Savior. Where are they right now? Resting in peace? I seriously doubt that. For only the saved enjoy that peace. Why is it that we love death and hate God? Why is it that we wrong our own soul? And I believe the reason is we love our sin. I believe the reason is we have two masters. We know about God, but we have this master of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. And for some unknown reason, we don't think, and we see death as an escape rather than a beginning. I worked with a man. His name was Earl Spring. Earl was an elderly fellow. Let me rephrase that, because he was younger than I am now. But he was getting close to retirement. And we worked at Pontiac Motors. We worked in what was then called Plant 8. And Plant 8 was where they had the final assembly of the cars. I worked very close to the area where the body would come over from Fisher Body and would be dropped from the second floor and would come down, and they would tie it to the frame. And I watched literally hundreds of times as those six or eight guys around that would bolt up all of that to the frame, and then go on down through the line and have all sorts of different parts attached to it. There was one point that I actually worked screwing in the left headlight. Another guy did the right. And all sorts of different jobs that are involved with that. I got to know Earl Spring on that job. He was a deacon at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. We would sit in our break times and discuss the things of God, and I really got to glean from this dear old man. I'm just a punk kid studying for the ministry, and I had the beautiful privilege to sit with this fella. I graduated from college, felt God's call, and we moved out to Seattle, Washington. We spent 3 years out there, but I don't remember when, but it was the second, maybe the third year. we got word. Earl Spring had committed suicide. He was a lover of God. What was he trying to do? Escape the ravages of cancer. He didn't want to take his family through it without realizing that by doing what he did, he took his family through much worse. It's not an escape. It's just a beginning. It's just a beginning. Think of it like this, and I hope it doesn't sound really terrible. But we take the body out to the cemetery, and what do? We bury it. What do we do with a seed? We bury it that it might grow. Now, I realize as a lost person, that doesn't take place. But for the Christian, that old body is planted, and they get to grow in heaven. It's just the beginning. It's just the start. But all they that hate me love death. Where are you at? Where are you at? Do you hate the wrong thing and love the wrong thing? By the way, it doesn't matter what you say. It's how you act that tells me the truth. It's how we behave that tells whether we love God or we love death. The wages of sin is death. And for us to continue the path of sin means we're continuing that path for those wages, evidently because we love it. There needs to be a turning away from it. There needs to be a repentance. There needs to be a time when we see what it is doing to us. And oh God, forgive me. Lord, I'm so sorry. I have sinned against you. The prodigal son rehearsed it. I know it's a story, but it shows a son that's coming back to the father. And he rehearsed that he was going to tell him he'd sinned. Have you rehearsed that? Because we need to tell him. See, God is near to those who have that kind of spirit. That's the need of the hour. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, oh God, that we don't have to love death, but we can love life. We can love the things of life which generate from above. And Lord, I pray that you might work in hearts. If there be a soul here today that needs you, Savior, I pray that you might speak to them. They might realize that their sin is destroying them and they need a Savior. God, work in hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.